Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful. And friends, welcome back to our Song of Ice and Fire podcast. We got a big topic today. We got a special guest. We brought on the expert, okay? My good friend and yours, Jimmy Nuts from the Fantasy Network. How's it going, buddy?
I mean, I'm talking to Song of Ice and Fire with my two of my best friends. How much better could I really be, guys? Come on.
Right? I know. It's good. It's a good time. It is a good time. On the screen right now, I have the official logo for the new Game of Thrones show coming out, title Snow. I just want to put this out there. It looks pretty sick, to be quite frank.
Look, it's from Kit Harington himself, right?
Yeah.
There. You see that?
There's no check mark
by the page or anything. But,
it's not verified, but I mean, maybe he didn't go through the process.
Hibbard. See what he thinks.
Right.
Yeah, well, right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But, so friends, we thought we'd bring Jimmy on. A couple weeks ago, we were on your channel just kind of talk. This broke a couple of days before, right? The stream?
I think it broke the day that we did the Chatting with Nuts episode. I think it was the very day.
Was it that day? Okay.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It was the day before because I think, didn't you come on here and talk about it?
No, I haven't actually come on to talk about Snow yet.
Yeah, no, we went on there the day after.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because I think, yeah, Jimmy was kind of like, hey, let's talk about this.
And I remember. This is perfect.
Well, what was great, so in that live stream, we didn't get to really talk a lot of spoilers or whatever, you know, again, just because of the format of your show and stuff. So I thought we kind of go into some crazy stuff here. But I just want to throw something out for you guys. I don't know if we missed this or not, but Emilia Clarke actually, she came out and said, and this is a quote. Again, this is like Us Weekly. A couple of the different places have her quoted exactly the same way, which when asked about this, she said, "He has told me about it, and I know it exists. It's happening." It's happening is what she said. I just want to throw, I don't know if we missed that last part. Like, it's happening. Okay. So, and then
confirmed.
I mean, it's like actually confirmed. And so the other piece is that like, it's lined up perfectly to create all of this buzz. I mean, do you guys not think that it's like creating like an internet buzz? Really?
I mean, it was the number one trending thing everywhere.
Yeah. There we go. So like going into House of the Dragon, it just almost seems like if you could have leaked anything at any one particular time, this would have been the great time to do it. You know, it's just like, what would it be, a month and a half away or something? And
do you kind of feel like it's overshadowing House of the Dragon a little bit?
It's all I want to talk about right now. I mean, just because it's hot, so, you know, within the first couple of weeks or whatever. I think it's got people more interested in that show, actually, because now you just said the word sequel. And so people are like, okay, now I can reinvest in Westeros a little bit because we're not just going backwards. It could just be me, but I always think like when you have something that pushes the storyline forward and you're filling in the gaps, like I'm more willing to. I mean, I'm also just depending. I'm a huge fan of it, but like I enjoy kind of learning all of it. But I feel like people who are invested in Game of Thrones, they want to know what goes beyond, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I feel like. Maybe not, though, because a lot of people are actually out there like really, really not happy. People are pretty split about this. I mean, I guess I would think that they would want to know more about this story. And I have two elements today. Jimmy's got like a question for us later. And I have a question for these two as well, just about things that we could kind of see in it, because it's exciting to me. The fact that Kit Harington's involved, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting that it came from him, like that he had this idea, which maybe he also didn't feel as good about the end of his character arc that, you know, some people complained about, right? So maybe he feels like he has a vision that can give that the proper closure that the fans want and need. I mean, the biggest question I have from it is like, is this going to be like a miniseries? Or are we talking seasons? Like, that is very, very interesting, because the name Snow almost makes me feel like it's really about like John, what he's passing on and all these things, which I could see being a miniseries, but
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah. Right. Just because it's focused around him, and then he would be the core of the show. Right. Cause I mean, we still have the idea that Sansa, no one's confirming. We have little to no nothing on it. Just an announcement or whatever. But I like to sit here and think that his sisters might get involved in that, you know, Bran down in King's Landing, and everyone might at some point become involved. It might not be that, you know, it might not be that at all, but I guess what would your guys' preference be? Would you rather have a miniseries, or would you have a couple seasons of this thing, or do you just do one and done? Kind of depends on what they do, right? Or where, how, you know.
Well, yeah, it does depend on what they do, right? Because one of the ideas that I've had for the show is like, now that the snow was melting and we saw like the first blade of grass, you know, cut through, it sounds like the North is going to be a lot more hospitable to people, which means if there's going to be people there and people can live there and they feel like they're more free, they are going to move there. People are going to migrate north. And could Jon Snow be the king of the true North at some point? So I think like you have a ton of questions. One, you know, are the White Walkers really gone? What wildlings are beneath the wall at this point, but I'm sure there had to be some stragglers, possibly, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I just want to see like what civilization look like above the wall now that it's more hospitable, a creating of a kingdom, you know, of maybe a seventh or eighth kingdom could be happening. And how does that relate to Westeros as a whole? Like, do they answer to the Iron Throne? Who knows?
That's a good,
you know, I'm beginning to wonder too, like, you know, you look at the things that they say, hey, these are the shows that we have sort of in production that we're thinking about, right? So we knew we were getting the Long Night, or the Long Night was the first thing they announced. Right? When it was going to be like the Dawn Age, all that stuff, it didn't happen. Then it was House of the Dragon, which they're like really came out for. So we know we're getting a Corlys Velaryon show, right?
Right.
That may or may not happen. I guess what I'm sort of thinking about here is they're supposed to be doing the one that is the sort of 10,000 ships, the Nymeria show.
Yeah.
Do you think that's actually an Arya Stark show?
Wow.
And wow. It's because it's Nymeria. Because
I'm out.
I'm just thinking about it, and I'm like, do we really? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Like,
well, I say I'm out. I really mean I'm in.
I'm in too.
Of all the sort of stuff that we're going to be getting, right? You know, we assumed when George said successor shows that he meant prequels, all prequels. Yes. Now that he's said, oh, they're successor shows, and he's using, they're saying, oh, it's Nymeria. That's like the, you know, code name Nymeria.
Right.
I guess I'm just like, I don't know. To me, that seems like way more intriguing, because if we like Arya, where her story ends, she's at least doing something cool. Like, we know, like, she's going to go sail and find like this other thing. And it's like, you can open that up for all sorts of stuff, because like the fact that we're getting a Jon show post what we believe to be the end of the books show means that like the floodgates, the wall is down
there. You know, I mean, like, I now can't believe you brought this up.
Now the possibilities are literally endless. I don't think like we've, you know, really, I don't think I've really like thought about that. We're just like, oh, okay, it's just going to be a sort of maybe self-contained story about John, but it's like, no. This is like, I don't want to say Star Wars sequels because the sequels are bad, but it's almost like,
right,
if we erase the Star Wars sequels from our mind, and it's like, as so we did the prequels, right? Yep. And then it's like we get like The Mandalorian, which is like 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Awesome. And it's like if you are new to Star Wars and you're like, I wonder what happens right after Return of the Jedi. Well, actually, it's The Mandalorian.
Right.
And then it's like, whoa, mind blown. And now like the gates are open and they still are in Star Wars. But that's like where this is. This isn't like 30 years in the future. This mm-hmm. might be like. What if what if it's John Walken? Like it picks up right where it left off.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It could be that. I will say, I think Arya had the most natural positioning in the narrative for a sequel, like her going and exploring, like that kind of writes itself in some ways. But with John, we actually don't know if it's only, you know, when he's walking away. What if it's an old man? What if it's an older Jon Snow and he has kids?
Like a Logan.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. And you see him like bringing up his family in this new kingdom that's forming. And then you start to see old friends like Tormund. And then the question I had is, are we going to see Cold Hands or Benjen Stark again?
There we go.
Well, there we go. Didn't he die?
Does he die? Because I was at Jimmy asked me beforehand.
I can't remember because I'm more fresh with the books right now. So
Cold Hands sees John for like a second, and it's when John is like running away, and it's when they're like being attacked by all the whites and stuff, and when they go to get the white to bring it back to the dragon pit, and he runs in, and then you literally just see him run into this like army of whites.
But
and,
okay, like,
so in like, the that's it.
So in the show, it's proposed.
Yeah, and he's got this like chain whip fire thing.
So he's fighting him off. Okay, see, I can't remember that part because.
Well, I mean, you pretty much see him like get pulled off and like, but okay. Who knows? He might be immortal or something because he's Cold Hands now.
Or can we just switch it to the books where Cold Hands isn't Benjen Stark? That'd be great.
Yeah,
just, I mean, let's just do a little retcon.
Like a friend. Yeah. Well, again, some stuff might actually be not retcon, but you know, like they're gonna make this work for. The show verse, it's clearly different. George came out and said, like, right, we'll debate whether his ending was better than Dan and Dave's ending or whatever, which is probably no debate at all. but like, you know, that I think he's left it open to say, hey, it's pretty different. It's pretty significantly different. And the more I look at it, it's like, the more I've given it like over a couple of years here, I've been like, wow, it is going to be extremely different. Because of all the extra elements that he has in his show and the extra characters and stuff. So,
And I would say that we've talked about this as like, if you go in a different route, as long as it's good, like it doesn't matter. It's only when you go against, you're like, we're going to do our own thing. And you have a source material that's really good. And then it's like, well, all you had to do was go with the source material.
Yeah.
But if you go against the source material and you make something that's good or possibly even better, which is possible, because right now the hottest show on television is The Boys. And let me tell you, I started going back and looking at some of The Boys comics and they are awful. I'm talking like it sucks.
I didn't even know they had comics. Wow.
Okay. Oh yeah. It's all based off an actual comic. I mean, it's not very good whatsoever. The show goes in almost entirely different direction. And is like so infinitely better, it's like hard to fathom. So there's nothing to say that, hey, we're going to go in a different direction than the books because this stuff isn't written yet. As long as it's good, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, the Mandalorian went away from the sort of, you know, extended universe or then at the time Legends, but was sort of canon Star Wars and redid it. And it's great. And so it works.
Yeah,
as long as it's good, it's all you got to do.
And I don't think anything about the things that we're getting into now will never be written. Like, I really don't see George doing stuff post A Song of Ice and Fire, the main seven, right? I just don't see it happening. So I say have at it and let's judge it for what it is when it comes out.
Well,
do you think it's part of the seven, though?
The Jon Snow stuff?
Nah, I don't think.
Do you think it's potentially the...
Scouring of the Shire. Here's my opinion on that. And I have heard this before, so this isn't a totally original idea. But you know, we've always talked about like the White Walkers being the final act in the books, because in the show it felt like the White Walkers were a footnote. I've kind of walked that back a little bit, and the reason being is the fact that a lot of people believe that George's kind of homage to Tolkien is going to be the fact that while they're fighting the big bad, you know, Saruman, goes and scours the Shire. Well, Cersei will come back from Castle Rock to take the Iron Throne as they're fighting this Omega battle, which makes her so much more of a coward and deceitful than all these things. And then when the battle's over, they have to go overthrow the, you know, they have to go back to the remnants of the city. And I do think that that actually checks out with the way George does things. I think it would be done much better in the books than it was in the show, but I think that's the scouring of the shower moment, except she will answer for it.
So, Jimmy, what you just showed, I mean, so like in season eight, right? That's exactly, that's, I've always wondered, why did they do the events the way they did them, right? Mm-hmm. Why do you have the Battle of Winterfell and then why do you go down to King's Landing? Why is it?
I think they were missing her leaving.
Yeah.
Right.
Which we've all theorized that she, like Casterly Rock, and that she might go there. And yeah.
I think that they didn't have the mechanisms to put her at Casterly Rock, also like sets and stuff, right? And I think that was the piece they were missing, among other things, right? Like things like Fagon and et cetera, et cetera. And you just have to wonder, like, do you know, I know as you said this, like, are we going to see Fagon in this show? Like, who knows? But one thing that we will definitely see is like the fallout of Jon Snow handling the fact that he did kill Dany.
Yeah.
And for as much as everyone wants to talk about how it was executed and stuff, I thought that that was a very compelling piece of television when it happened.
Yeah.
Whether or not you like it like that, how they got there, whatever. I did think the moment when John took Danny's life was very compelling and a great moment. I mean, sad as hell. We are now going to see the mental turmoil of that and actually get to see that grief processed. And I think that that is one of the things that made Game of Thrones really special before was, you know, seeing the fallout of the Red Wedding, seeing that trauma played out on screen in our characters like Arya. Well, we're actually going to see what John feels, you know, and I think that that's pretty cool.
See, okay, a couple of things. So I want to lay some of these things out here and we can talk about them in whatever order. Just to pick up where Jimmy left off there in terms of Dany, right? And then Emilia Clarke coming out and having information about this show and everyone's like, well, she's dead, whatever. Two things. You could bring her back, number one, easy. You could also have flashbacks. You can have flashbacks where he's, Jimmy just said, like dealing with some of that or whatever, like extra conversations, whatever you want to do. I mean, it's just a huge, it's a huge opportunity. There's a possibility for that. Then the thing we were talking about earlier as well was like, is this all stuff that is going to be post, you know, your Song of Ice and Fire epic, right? Is it going to be beyond that or is it going to contain elements that they left out of the show? I think it could be a bit of both. Like it's sort of like idea. George is there for the ideas and he could say, you know what? They didn't. There's a couple of different things they didn't do. I got a couple of things that are going to that would have been really cool to kind of pull off. And he's the type of guy who he would love to say, I call it, like, that's my thing. I told them about that moment. Again, Hodor doesn't happen without him telling them about Hodor. You know what I mean? And us all freaking out and going crazy. And he's just like, that was me. And you didn't get to see it the way I wanted to lay it out. Like, he's got all those things in a basket that he, I think Kit Harington says, hey, let me take your basket of goodies and let's figure out how we can kind of make this work. You still tell your story, but like, there's a lot of things that he can, that I think he could do in this show to make it really intriguing.
And if you, I would say that if you look at, honestly, most of George's work, right? Because, like, if you look at, like, obviously he has A Song of Ice and Fire, but then you look at everything else he actually does. So, like, the real majority of his work is he edits books, like, constantly. It's, like, edited by George R. R. Martin. Edited, I mean, all of his things are, like, every time you go to his thing, it's like this. I mean, like, he's so good at creating lore. Like, that's his real, like, strength more than anything else. It's like he's really good at sort of like giving you like an amazing outline. I mean, Jimmy's played it. What's going to go down as game of the year and was probably going to be considered like one of the best
game I've ever played
in the past decade is Elden Ring, which he's just like came. They went to him. They're like, we need help with lore. And he like knocks it so far out of the park.
Wow.
I mean, it's strange. Just what he does. So I think he could very easily real quick. He could very easily, Kit's like, here's some ideas, and George can just be like, yep. I mean, look at the World of Ice and Fire book and Fire and Blood and all this stuff. That's what he does. He's like, he can pop this stuff off, but I think it's just more difficult for him to sit down and actually piece it together because he's so good at the lore building. He wants to include all of it.
Yeah, and he does a lot. So a lot of people feel like, you know, George isn't doing anything, and it's like he's doing a lot of stuff. And again, you know, he said in the blog, he said, I'm not working on the stuff you guys want me to work on, and everyone got mad about that. I actually was kind of like, I get it.
I mean, he doesn't. So his thing, I honestly think like House of the Dragon has an outline. He's done the bulk of the work there by giving them Fire and Blood, and they've got all this kind of stuff. If I had to make a guess, like he enjoyed meeting the cast, working with them, Dan and Dave, people come. He had Kit Harington come to his house sit down and look over some stuff with him and say, let's make this something, you know, like a night to remember, you know? Awesome. I mean?
So I have a question, and this is me being a little bit of a pessimist here.
Oh boy.
George specifically said he couldn't mention who the showrunners were.
No. Oh.
What if it's D&D?
Wow. Now,
well, as long as they don't write it, then I don't actually, then I honest to God don't actually have a problem with it, because it's obvious that D&D are not necessarily great at writing their own stories. You can look at Wolverine Origins, which was like sucked. But I mean, clearly as showrunners, they didn't build the greatest like show in the history of television and just are complete buffoons. The problem started when they ran out of source material.
And they were done. I think that's the bigger issue with me.
Yeah,
that
too.
Is the fact that they just kind of said, we're over this. You know,
but,
that
I mean, everyone gets burned out by stuff. Chris Evans is like, dude, he's like, when you sign that Marvel contract, you sign up for like, it's like a decade or like 12 years you sign up. And it's like, he's freaking amazing as Captain America. It's like, but even he's just like, dude, I'm done. Like,
but he signed up to be America's ass. So I think so. Here's something about D&D. I feel like like Jimmy said, they gave up. They didn't want to do any more. So one, I think it would be ironic. It'd be crazy if they said, yeah, we went back in. Well, that's because you didn't finish, and it didn't finish in a very good way. They were given a Star Wars series, like a trilogy that we've never heard about that since. Right. I mean, like that was something that it was a big rumor. It was talked about or whatever. All the projects that I've heard that they're going to get, they just don't get. They haven't come up. I don't know what they are. Leave me a comment if there is one I'm forgetting or don't know.
Everybody Problem is coming to Netflix, and that should be pretty massive. Okay. People are very apprehensive because this has the potential to be like one of the greatest sci-fi adventure, like not adventure, but like, you know, productions ever. And people are very nervous that D&D might ruin it. But it's an adaptation. So I've actually told people like, maybe you should check it out. Like maybe it'll be okay. Yeah. What if D&D wants some redemption?
I would say they would, right?
I'd be a little more pessimistic. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm not saying I wouldn't watch it, but I'm just saying I wouldn't be as like, hey, maybe it's going to be good. Yeah. I'd be like,
I mean, like their track record, you know, I mean, obviously Game of Thrones, you have to include Game of Thrones, and it's like, it's amazing. Yeah. Benioff actually has more stuff to say. I mean, really, it's like, I mean, he wrote the movie Troy. That was a pretty great movie.
Okay.
I mean, he also wrote X-Men Origins Wolverine, which I don't know. I mean, part of the plot was pretty bad, but a lot of it was directing and like CG.
Was he ever on Survivor?
Oh my God.
Right. So, you know, I mean, but then they did they did Game of Thrones. I mean,
I mean, truly, like I actually defended them for a long time. And I still to some degree do, because if it's adapting a full series, I think they're like, yeah, we're fine. We have like, when they start this thing, he's promising Winds of Winter every other year. And it just sucks because
I think it was, it's hard to say because things all sort of happen right at like in the exact same time where Game of Thrones begins to dip is around 2016, which is season 6. Like, you know, people are like season 5, but honestly what happens, it's kind of like, okay, but to be fair, when you're in season 5 is when you begin to get into A Feast for Crows and Dance of Dragons. And it's like, even the people who've read the books know that the best content in Game of Thrones is A Storm of Swords. So it's not like, oh man, it started to go downhill in season 5. It's like, well, to be fair, the peak of Game of Thrones or the peak of Song of Ice and Fire is A Storm of Swords. Like that's the best, by far the best content in the books. But then it's also, you get to like season 7, right? Which is 2 years off. So they had, remember it was like 2015. Then there was a little bit of a delay because they had to push it back to actually film in winter. That was also, I still say it had to play into it somehow when AT&T took over, Warner Brothers. Remember, they were the ones that came up with all these ridiculous rules about the movies where it's like, Justice League has to be 2 hours. Can't be a 3 hour movie. It's like, and then we got a 4 hour version of it and it was freaking amazing. And, you know, Wonder Woman 1988. So it's like that running out of the books. You know, you had a delay in production because it took so long to film and everything. I think a lot of Emilia Clarke became like a massive star. I think a lot of things were happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of crazy. I think you have to, they're kind of in an the author hasn't finished it. He's trying to finish it. You're trying to say, okay, let's pull these different plot lines and let's go back and do stuff that, and again, he felt like George felt like they were going way too fast. So there's a difference in sort of opinion and where we should be doing what should, you know, all
well, they
of that
did also kind of put him to the side, which is a problem.
Yeah, right.
You know, it didn't seem like there was a lot of consulting going on at some point. And whenever you have it, the studio and George, you know, kind of saying, hey, let's do some more. And they didn't want to do it. Like, that is where I'm like, I'm not really even doubting the fact that they couldn't do something that's really good. It's more like the attitude of it. Like, how do you know? Let's say Snow is the greatest. And also, by the way, folks, this is all speculation. Like, we don't know D&D's involved or anything. Right. But for the fun thought experiment, if they were, it's just like, what if Snow was the greatest thing we ever had, right? And then like two seasons in, D&D's a new, you know, they've redeemed themselves somehow. And then they want to leave it. You know what I mean? It's just like, how can you, it's hard to trust them with your IP at that point.
So, yeah, if they're not going to give every, if they're not going to, you know, stick it out and give those extra seasons and stuff and do whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be the showrunners though.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't.
But not every director or showrunner or whatever thing nails every single thing like out of the park. Like, it's really rare to find that. Like, some people, it's like J.J. Abrams, for example, right?
George Lucas.
Like, I'll use J.J. as an example. It's like, everyone's like, man, season one of Lost, freaking amazing. Okay, and then it kind of goes like down or whatever. I don't know. I didn't see it, so I can't comment as much on it. But like, when he redid the Star Trek movies, I was like, dude, these are sick. Like, the first one, the one in like 2009
so
or whatever.
Good. So good.
Like, it's freaking amazing. Like, it's an amazing movie. And then like, at the time we watched The Force Awakens and we were like, hey, this is like a pretty good movie. But then we watched The Rise of Skywalker, but it's like, it's hard to judge him on that. So, you know, not every director comes in and nails like every single thing like out of the park. But these guys, their track record, to be fair, it's still amazing because you had the most successful show in the history of television.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they'll be the showrunners, but like, no. I don't know. When George was like, oh, I can't talk about the showrunners yet, I was just like, what if?
Maybe that's, yeah, whatever.
Because I think Kit and D&D were like pretty tight from what I remember, like interviews stuff. Yeah, like they were big fans of Kit.
Wow. Okay. So interesting. Well, I mean, it feels like too, you know, maybe they are really exciting showrunners, and that's the thing. Like, even if they're not, you know, Dan and Dave, and George just wants to kind of share it, because he did say that he was like, until they say I can say more, I really can't say anything right now.
Yeah. So, who knows? I mean, we might get something way out of left field. They might even get Rafe Judkins.
Jesus, cow. Yeah, good God. If he can get through season two of Wheel of Time, we'll see. Like, oh my God. Okay. Let me, I know Matt's looking something up there real quick. I want to throw up a little something up on the screen here and just, ask you guys your thoughts about this. It's a little crazy, a little tinfoil here or whatever, but,
okay.
Yeah. It's just something that, like, when I think about the cover of the next book and I think about the significance of like a horn, or I think about like the Horn of Winter or any of these horns that are in the series. And I was mentioning like the idea that Sam, all he has to do is give this horn back. You know what I mean? And like, there's so many magical elements or just things that are set up in the series that we never saw show up. We actually see Sam get the horn. We see this whole, we see the dragon glass. We see the whole thing. Like, what comes of that? I mean, what actually comes of that? There's Dragonbinder. You know what I mean? There's Euron and his whole mystical element and stuff. So I don't, with this whole like Nymeria, Matt just proposing the idea that we could have like the Arya show possibly, and that's really the Nymeria show or whatever, and then you've got Snow, which is like John's thing. You can do some of these things. Like, again, it's almost like George in his mind has to say, do like a quick, like, I got my story, I know where I'm going with Winds of Winter, and I understand the end of that, but there were things that weren't used that we never saw that are never going to get really seen by this huge like HBO audience or whatever, that he could throw out there that would be really cool, that they could kind of bring back in. Because earlier, Jimmy, you had said like who could we see, right? We're talking about Tormund, we're talking about Benjen, we're talking about just different individuals, and then different items, you know, different swords, different like magical items that could come into play that would be sort of a big deal. Like, what's the mystery?
Well, there's
there?
Also the time element to the story that we do know in the shows. We don't know it so much in the books yet, right? But there's timeline hopping with Bran.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. That's
so
sure.
There's a lot you could play with here. I mean, you could even bend it, genre bend it a little bit into some sort of weird sci-fi stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think what we need to do as people who have loved the books is we need to open up the World of Ice and Fire. We need to go back through and look up North of the Wall references and start to look maybe back through even Fire and Blood. They mentioned some stuff at the wall is it Jaehaerys goes to the wall? I can't remember.
Yeah. And he's, the old king, and they've got.
Yes, and his wife goes to Mole Town. It's like the best. I love it. but like these are the things like we need to hear. Like, were there any lore? Was there any stories, right? The Night's King and the Night's Queen, like that's something that we could tap into. It just makes you wonder that maybe there's something sitting in my World of Ice and Fire book that I'm not thinking about, talking about North of the Wall that could end up playing into the show.
Yeah, just an element of some magical thing. I mean, we just like the cover of the next book is a horn. I mean, I don't know if that's official or not. Is it? Is that official?
It is. It's funny. It's actually not official, but George has shared it so much that people just use it. But it's actually a fan art.
Yeah. Is it really?
It's fan art.
That's hilarious, though, like, because maybe it's not. Maybe it has no significance and it's not going to be like.
I hope it becomes the book cover and they pay that guy, whoever made it.
Yeah, really.
But, so, yeah. OK, not to totally shift gears here, but so I looked up Kit Harington's production company because he sort of created his own when he did Gunpowder, which was like a little mini.
I liked it. I watched
which
it.
Which was a mini series. So I would imagine that he's already worked with some of these people with like writing and directing. So if I had to take a guess, just sort of other than that, Kit Harington, to be honest, hasn't really been in a whole lot. I mean, Game of Thrones is like the majority of his career. And then he's like in How to Train Your Dragon as a voice role. And then he's going to be a much bigger deal in Marvel. But in Eternals, he was probably only on screen for like 10 minutes. Now he will have a huge role coming, I believe. As Dane Whitman, the Black Knight, which is hilarious because that's sort of like who Arthur Dayne / possibly in the books Jon Snow may actually be based off of, right? I mean, like it's totally like George like inspired, you know, like a lot of that stuff off there. So okay, so the guy who wrote a lot of the episodes was a guy named Jonathan Blakeson, who really hasn't done a lot. He has some upcoming show called Culprits, which is a Disney Plus show. And he's worked with like Rosamund Pike before, but because this was like Kit Harington like developed the show, right? One of the people who was in the cast of that is Mark Gatiss, who the first thing I think about him of is in Sherlock. He plays Sherlock's brother, Mycroft Holmes, but he is in Game of Thrones and he's Tycho Nestoris of the Iron Bank.
Oh,
interesting.
Now, I'm not saying there's going to be any sort of connection there, but it's like just sort of thinking like, OK, well, Kit's worked with these people
and HBO does wrote episodes. People.
Yeah, that guy wrote episodes for Sherlock. And it's like, dude, if I don't know, I mean, Kit like clearly is like, hey, he's going to be part of the main cast. And like was the one, you know, one of the people saying, hey, we're going to bring him in. And it's like, dude, if you've got like at least him on the team, not saying that he is or anything, of course, but obviously he's worked with him and everything. And it's like, dude. Sherlock is like a freaking like one of the best written shows I've ever seen in my life. So, you know, we have no idea who's at all working on it, but just sort of trying to, you know, pick some connections of people he's worked with his own production team. So I think that's going to be where he goes first is here's the people I've worked with before. That typically, you know, seems to be the way that it ends up going.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That's interesting. Guys, I'm just looking up something real quick here because I found like it's fascinating to think about like who's gonna be involved and then you know, his team and all that kind of stuff or whatever. But I'm still stuck on like the story of this whole thing and like where it's gonna go. I'm dropping some stuff in our private chat here, just different ideas as to things like looking at comments or whatever. I don't know if you're reading that or not, Jimmy, but someone had an idea, and I just want to give Sam Hussein here some credit. Said that a great story or basis for the Jon Snow show. Is that like to start this whole thing off in the beginning, everyone's doing their own thing. Arya's doing her thing. Sansa's doing her thing. Jon's doing his thing. And then suddenly King Bran is assassinated or he disappears and everyone is shaken out of their comfort life. They're called back into action in order to find out what happens. Was he killed? Was it a faceless man? Arya investigates Essos. I mean, right there, this person's already created something. I mean, that's just one person that, you know, shout out to Sam here, who created a something that instigates kind of intrigue or whatever. So again, we've just heard about this show and we've just started to kind of think about these things. But I guess like I haven't even really got my tinfoil cap all the way on yet to start really going crazy. Some people have, you know, and they're really like giving this some thought as to like mysteries that you could kind of go into and you could rope in Werewood lore and Children of the Forest lore, Nightfort lore, all these different things. So I love this kind of stuff because, again, if they're going to do it, like, it's cool to kind of think about what George might have up his sleeve in terms of, you know, a show like this.
Yeah, I think Children of the Forest is something that I've actually also thought about. Werewood, all that stuff gets played into it. And it's like, it's all going to depend on if John gets pulled back south of the wall that doesn't really exist anymore, right? Like if he has to come south, like that's really what it comes down to. Because I mean, just Bran, I know everyone was like, why, who had a better story? But like, we meme it, but like the idea of his character being king opens up like all of the possibilities. It reminds me a lot of like Paul and Dune in some ways. So I'm here for it. I'd be down with that.
Yeah, I mean, God, there's so many different directions you could go. I mean, does the realm know that Jon Snow is really the son of Rhaegar and Lyanna Stark? I don't think like the realm really knows that.
No.
I think some of like the inner, you know, higher lords do, but I don't think Emilia Clarke's going to be in it because I think she's got so much stuff going on. Right. But I mean, you could still go with a young Griff, like a young Griff that you didn't use at all, comes over and decides to attack as like a Blackfyre. And then people find out that John is the true heir and they want him instead because he killed Bran or something. I don't know. I mean, there's so many possibilities. It feels like we're either like you're going to go like way north and do your own thing or you're going way south. Does he feud with Sansa? Because wildlings, you know, Sansa's trying to rule the who, by the way, she isn't really doing like a whole lot. We've looked at her filmography, although she just had a kid, so
she's on kid number two now.
Yeah, so I mean, just as in terms of acting, she's not doing a lot. She'll probably get pulled into Marvel at some point here soon as they continue to expand the multiverse. You know, maybe she's like feuding with John. He's like, hey, your wildlings keep coming in and I'm trying to control the north up here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he comes south because one of his siblings died.
Right.
At the beginning of the show.
Right. I mean, just think about that. How this, like, if it starts with something like an assassination attempt or someone is dead or whatever,
right,
all of a sudden, like, we're locked in. Like George ordained and like he set this up. Because the Bran thing, just real quick, fellas, look at the cave. I haven't done it yet. I haven't gone back and done this in a while. But look at what he's dealing. I know he runs and he will leave the cave and Hodor does this whole thing or whatever. But whoever he is sent there to see and to be with, Jojen dies. I mean, Jojen is killed and he's ate by everybody up there. The children created the others. This is not a good place. These are not good people. And they don't, Bran does not get some special power there and all of a sudden he's good. Like, Bloodraven was actually like captured and attached to a freaking tree, could not leave, and he was their thrall. He was the, like, they used him. So I don't think people like look at that enough. And so when you think about like maybe alternate endings, I think as an author, you might have all, you know, different ideas, different ways that you could go. Sure, he could be a king. Maybe Bran was always set up to be a king, just not the king we thought he was gonna be. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
who knows,
there's a lot of stuff.
If you connect that to like John, you know, going north and stuff, and we talk about all this stuff, maybe John's whole purpose in the show is to find out like how to prevent the White Walkers from ever happening again, like never again, a long night. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that just is a lore rabbit hole. Like they just get to dive in, right? They can get as weird as they want.
Right. Well, Jimmy, also too, think about this, you know, if, let's say you hear rumors as like John is figuring stuff out north and he's figuring out what's going on, he's trying to think about, maybe he's reflecting a bit on what Bran went through, who was he in contact, no one really knows, he's just come back and he's changed and it's all this kind of stuff. If he explores this more and feels that there's a dark entity behind his power gain or whatever, the access to Weirwoods, whatever it is that he has going on. And then he hears about rumors south where things are not so good. And this benevolent King Bran is maybe not everything that we think he should be. I don't know. The assassination is also really cool, but there's just a lot to give it more weight, I guess, than just a mini series of him going around claiming sort of villages and stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think the most likely scenario though is we're at Hardhome. I would introduce Val. I would have it be like, I would probably have it. It needs to be like, you need to sort of build it out as like his thing. And then you sort of leave it with like a cliffhanger of introducing another character, like a bringing back, you know what I mean? Bringing back another character. I think is probably the most likely scenario and the way I think that they probably will do it. So I would probably have it mostly be about they're trying to rebuild Hardhome and there's other wildlings out there that are like pissed off. Like, hey, you didn't bring all the wildlings south, man. And a lot of us died because of the White Walkers. And so it's sort of like just a wildling conflict. I would have it be Val, just so that way you can bring in that character and you can do it. I think it'd be interesting. And then John gets a love interest.
Well, yeah.
There's some other threat out there too. Yeah.
Right. That's one of those things like Jimmy was talking about earlier. How, when you go beyond the Song of Ice and Fire arc, or you do do that, right? But then you also bring in elements that you forgot, like that the show forgot, like the Val element. It was totally we already see that in the books. The show never touched it. And so that's one of those elements, I guess, that would be cool. We mentioned Young Grip and different things. And like you said, you know, I was saying too, we say Emilia Clarke's not in season one. Doesn't mean she's not in the season two. And she shows up at the end, like has been resurrected, or that Bran, you know, this whole quest, he's fighting wildlings. He's you're making it his show, but then he discovers something more to kind of extend this on. I just don't think it's going to be one thing. I feel like it would be, if it's post George's material, I feel like he's heavily involved in that. And he's going to be, you know, giving them a good path forward. He loves TV. He wants to make good TV. And these really cool moments, he's like, well, actually, here's some cool stuff you can do with Bran and the Weirwood Network and things that I was going to, you know, work in the series. So, yeah,
I think one of the things that could be really neat, and I kind of like what Matt said about Hardhome being rebuilt, is maybe not necessarily building a kingdom, but building a place where people don't have to bend their knee. You know, that's the true spirit of the North. And it is maybe a tribe thing where people are saying, you know, you're setting up too much of a society out here. You know, we don't kneel to you or anyone. Right. And so you have this conflict of like, what is the North becoming? And then like at the end of season one, when the conflict is somewhat resolved or there's a peace, Tyrion shows up. And now, you know, the Iron Throne wants to colonize the North. And then you can explore imperialism this way. Mm-hmm. Or what if you had a Red Priestess or a priest show up? Because R'hllor is now unchecked.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a kind of crazy idea just because I was looking up other actors who are in Game of Thrones. And I was like, oh, there's, if you're doing a Jon Snow show, the one character you have to bring back, I think, is Sam. Yes. So I'm looking up what John Bradley's doing. Not a whole lot. But do you remember the one plot thread that everybody thought was going to be a big deal was Gilly's baby? Remember? Because they kept giving the babies to the others. But it felt like maybe for a while, like the Night King like wanted that baby. Like that was like, we were like, what's the deal? Why was it such a deal? Well, what if something's f***ing up with that baby?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like... throwback.
Yeah. Right, dude. There's that's a good one. I mean, to think about like things that were... all the things that never came up that we never figured out, the Crypts of Winterfell, the babies, the horn, all the stuff that's like there.
I would start like five. I would make it like 4 to 5 years later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I think then that kid'd be like 5 or 6. It's like, hey, something's up with this kid, dude. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And you could even throw that in a show that is about like, you know, the Iron Throne trying to colonize the North. Like that would fit in there. Right.
Right.
Because Sam shows up with his kid, things start happening. I mean, you could do.
Because that was like a whole deal. Like, first of all, like they were giving the babies to Craster, and he was like turning them into not just whites, but like White Walkers.
Yeah,
yeah.
Remember, because he was touching them and the blue eyes and everything, and you know something weird about that.
Like
something weird with that baby. I know
any of that stuff. Like we don't get. It's just crazy.
no matter how you feel about, you know, everyone listening, no matter how you feel about a Jon Snow show or a sequel to this television series, it honestly is pretty cool that we're even asking these questions right now.
It's like, freaking sick.
Yep. I don't know about you guys, but like, when this is where like my analytical brain kind of turns off and I'm a fan again. You know what I mean? And yeah, we're just having fun. Like, this is the shit we loved back then. Like, what are they going to do with the wall? You know, there was always some question. And if anything, this has at least made me think about, you know, what is next. I never thought we'd ask these questions.
No.
Right.
That's the super exciting thing. Because, yeah, we never assumed that we would go past. We thought it was done and over. But no, it's like, well, oh, I mean, okay. I mean, my God, like, that's like that's the craziest thing. And that's the best part about it, because there's tons of storylines that they didn't do and tons of storylines that, like, I mean, who knows? It could be John's, like, stuff's weird with him because he was resurrected.
Yeah. Dude, people forget the resurrection piece, by the way. People
and like dragon and dragon dreams again. And wolf dreams and like all this stuff. Like, you could,
he might be worgen this whole show. He might just be worgen in the shit.
You know, a guy we need to go look up is I never remember the actor's name, but whoever plays Tormund Giantsbane, because to me, he I don't know how you could do the show without him.
No, I think he'll be in it. I think
he's like the one person that has to be in it.
If there was going to be one other person that I would say is for sure going to be in this show other than Kit Harington, it would be Tormund, who was excellent in season 2, episode 1 of The Witcher. Like, killed
yes.
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He looked slim and trim and no beard. It was weird. He's a good looking fellow.
Yeah, that would be sick. Yeah, he has to be there because he's riding with him, right? I mean, I'm trying to remember the end.
He rides. I'm kind of actually a little hazy too.
He's just there. They're riding. They're riding. So I totally thought Tormund was gonna die. I was like, dude, it seems so.
Same. Right. Fans loved him. Because
do you think maybe plus? Well, first of all, Gwendolyn Christie, by the way, came out and said I'd be down. Right. So just think, Brienne Tormund could still happen. I would watch a show entirely on that because it's freaking hilarious.
Just married with children, but it's
like, Tormund. Dude, you know, Jimmy, every holiday season, I find myself with a dilemma. At my wife's extended family Christmas, we do a white elephant gift, and I never know what to get.
Well, Matt, spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list. All in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling.
Yeah, they scour the globe for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Somehow they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. Here's a few of my favorite gifts that I found on their website. Things like chocolate from around the world, handcrafted cribbage boards, wine glasses, bourbon sets, just about anything you want to find that would be a unique or uncommon gift they have in their selection.
And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season.
Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts that you can personalize.
And from holiday host to hostess gift to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selections you can find just anywhere.
And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee. That's uncommongoods.com/bendtheknee for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Imagine
that the season ends and like Sam shows up on a boat and he's got Brienne with him, like, and Brienne comes north and it's like the look on Tormund's face, like she's back. Like, I never thought I'd see her again. Like, it would be fucking hilarious.
Think about that. Doesn't she ever squire? Well, Pod's not. He's now a part of the. I'm trying.
Oh yeah, here. Christopher Hivju. It's Norwegian. I can't. Get Lottie. She's closer over there.
Yeah. But it's at the end. It was Sam. So Sam's still a brother of the Night's Watch, right? Or does he? Something happened to?
No, he's a Maester. The Night's Watch is like dead. The night there is no more Night's Watch.
Yeah, so that's it. Well, that's my question. So like, so there is no more Night's. So are they take the rest of the wall down? I mean, like that is that would probably
they
be
just left
the,
it.
What the?
Yeah,
what
I think it's just remnants of the past.
Yeah, because when they walk through the wall, even though there's an enormous hole, I don't know why they're walking through the gate. Right. But.
So Sam is just Sam is now just free to kind of. So he's going to be there in King's Landing. So like Bran could like send essentially Sam or Brienne or whoever north to Jon, right, on some errand or something, some mission. I mean, right? I mean, that could be a possible way that you would get them up there for the show or something.
It could be a totally new threat.
Yeah.
The Children of the Forest could emerge. Like, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's tapped into all the mystical whatever. He can foresee something and say, hey, this is happening. Get to let... You don't even have to have the actor in it. Like, this is a letter from the king, you know?
So, yeah, so... Tormund Giantsbane, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name anymore, is in two things coming out in the near future. 2022, a movie called Distant, and 2023, a movie Cocaine Bear, which actually I've seen read a little bit about. It sounds really funny. It's like Elizabeth Banks and Kerry Russell and stuff like that. But it's like, that's sort of it. Like, that's his roles. And one of them is in post-production, so it's already done.
Sign him.
I'm pretty sure he already is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
Wow. Yeah, because it just makes it so much more, I don't know, like interesting, you know, because he's a big leader for that wildling group.
And he's another guy. It's like, he hasn't really, honestly, been in a ton of stuff outside of Game of Thrones. Like, he's in quite a bit of television where it's like one episode here, you know, four episodes here. Like, he did eight episodes of this one show, but like, kind of it.
Wow.
So I mean, Tormund though is the one that we're like, okay, he's gonna be there. It's not gonna change the story or anything, but it's like, he's the one character that's like, I don't know how you could do it without him, like, just because he's like Jon's buddy and they're gonna be right there. Yeah,
it would feel very weird without him, I would say.
Yeah.
Depending on how they could do it 10 years 20 years in the future and say he died, but then you gotta age up Kit, which I don't think is going to work. If you try to do 20, like, that's a little bit.
I do think it's going to be like 2 to 3 years in.
You think? I think it would, I'm going to guess 5.
Yeah. I mean, five, I think is a more likely scenario, but I don't think it picks up like immediately following. We may get a scene that picks up like immediately following or something, but
yeah,
I do think it's going to be a little bit in the future.
Yeah. Guys, I just got done rewatching. This was I was just making some content earlier, and I was watching the part where they all go up and stab John. Even little, what's his name? Ollie, that little boy.
Ollie. Who's a show only character, yeah.
Show only character steps up there and just like nods for a second, hesitates, and freaking stabs him. And it just enraged me. Just absolutely enraged me. So I mean maybe there's some people up there that still need to answer for. I mean, no, he hung them all, but like, I don't know. I mean, I'm still mad about it. So, like,
Ed fetched me my block.
I don't know, but wow, just wild to think so too, that the wall would be, you know, I mean, he's like, people are going north of the
wall.
That's
what I'm saying. The north is now hospitable. I mean, we saw the snow melting. I think colonization just seems like something that would fit the narrative. Yeah. Like, that is a very complex thing. There's going to be two sides of it. He's going to be going against his sister, possibly, and his brother. And there could be some family feuds there. I mean, I think it could be really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And there's so much of the north we didn't even explore, too. Like, as I looked at it, it's like the land of always winters, like up and over there. Yep. It's like we really only get like a little bit in. And if some of that's begun to melt, perhaps and fade away, which could be a difference as well. All
climate
of
change could be wreaking havoc in the north.
All of the new creatures and everything that could be beginning. Well, what if to say that's it? I mean, like, it sounds weird, but like, what's to say that that's not actually the thing? Like, if it's now a hospitable land, and you know, Sansa's been growing the Northern Empire, then
that's what I'm saying.
Then it becomes like land dispute and getting into their territory, and you know all this stuff.
Well, then they find Rob's will, and he's actually there to Winterfell, and
like, boy. Wow. Wow. Well, you even have the idea of like Essos. I mean, like, and the Iron Bank being involved and wanting to, you know, put someone in charge over there. Like, we're not getting any taxes from that place, you know. So you start to kind of add that whole element, which would make it feel kind of real. You know, it would add that reality element while there's mystical stuff sort of emerging too.
Yeah, I think that the heart of this story will be definitely realism. I believe that. And if George has any involvement, there's going to be a conflict of like the heart. And the thing that I think of in the story where I could see that conflict arising is between the Stark children.
Mm-hmm.
Because they kind of control everything at this point. Mm-hmm. So it just makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder.
So, okay. So I pulled up a list of like Game of Thrones plots that like didn't finish.
Right.
The prince that was promised was a thing that was discussed, and then Arya just ends up killing the Night King.
I still think
that in some way it's sort of explained, because you could argue that Jon was the one that actually like united everyone to sort of like defeat it. So like in a way I could see that, but that's not to say that they don't finish it out as something in this. And I mean, the series is clearly going to be like Jon. Kangs is clearly writing it about something. I don't know what it's going to be, but like Quaithe just up and disappeared. The White Walker's behavior was never explained. So like from literally the first shot, the White Walkers are poised as the big bads of the entire series. And while whether or not their grand finale was a little underwhelming is up for debate, one thing we can all agree on is their behavior was completely unexplained. Remember at the very beginning, we were shown how they arranged bodies and the weird symbols, and there was no explanation for that symbol. Then there was the White Walker baby. As you recall, whenever one of Craster's daughters bore him a child, the infant was deposited in the wood and left as some kind of sacrifice to the Walkers. When we finally saw what the Walkers did with the babies in the woods, it was revealed at a touch that the skin turned pale and the eyes turned white. So what gives? Is it a White Walker now? Right? Did it just immediately turn and then grow up, or is it still there? But it's the Night King that turns it, so what's to say that it isn't dead when Jon or when Arya killed it? Maybe because he was still a White Walker kid, he's still out there because he was too far away or something.
How did the Night King become the Night King?
Well, we did kind of see that.
Oh, that's right. It's the children of the in the books. I'm so fresh.
Right. Exactly. Books. No, I know. Sometimes you have to, it's like, because there's some big differences. So he could be like a 5 or 6 year old, and maybe he's aged up. So maybe there is still one White Walker left, and maybe he's built an army. Maybe he's ticked. It's like, also, what about the time when Sam seemed to be in the White Walker's clutches, but they gave him an instant stare and let him go? Shouldn't that have been drafted into why wasn't Sam put into the Army of the Dead? That was interesting. So there's definitely still White Walker mysteries that still exist. Mira Reed just sort of left. But whatever. I mean, you know, Robert Aaron is still out there. It's like, man, he seemed like he was going to be important. Nothing ever happened. This was interesting. Hold on. Cersei told, let me see here. This is saying, yeah, because there is a difference of Cersei and her babies, right? Remember Cersei said that she had in the books, it's like totally different, but in the show, remember she said she had a baby? Cersei said she had a baby that was Robert's.
Yeah.
That died of a fever not long after birth. And while Cersei had a tendency to be sneaky and say whatever served her aims, we know this kid was real thanks to independent verification from Robert himself. So what gives? Maggie's prophecy came up after this revelation, saying like, all your kids, you know, will die. Or like, is it just a case of sloppy writing or whatever? So I always actually thought that because Gendry said that a show only theory, I think, is that Cersei could actually be Gendry's mom because, in theory, it kind of actually works out because Gendry says that some blonde woman came to visit him. Came to visit him. So that baby would have had to have actually survived somehow. And Cersei couldn't, because I just don't, you know, unless it actually died of a fever, right, you know, or whatever, then maybe, unless Cersei would have killed it because it was Robert's, don't think so. I don't know. Maybe she gave it up because she thought Jaime would kill it. And then there is actually plot to suggest that Gendry could actually be Robert's true son of Robert and Cersei, because he said that his mom was blonde.
Huh.
How that would play into the Snow show, I don't know, but you know, it just depends on what route they want to go.
No, it's just the idea that there are different, there are still these plots, these threads, things that were questions definitely not answered. And I mean, you can go back to any of all of our season 8 theories and stuff. Look at all the stuff that people were writing in and all the things that were just like, well, that never came up whatsoever. Like, there's just nothing came of any of these things, the Crypts of Winterfell, the Stark and Winterfell, just different stuff that happened that didn't happen. So yeah, I feel like there is a lot you could kind of maybe go back to or whatever. And then I also wonder, you know, Matt, you often bring up like Cyril Farrell and like the things that George put into the show that were George things that in my mind I just think like, and when writing the books, he was probably like, I didn't do that. Maybe I wish I would have, or I had a couple different paths there and I chose this one and this one went to the wayside, but let me give that to the show because it's kind of a cool thing. I just feel like there's a ton of that stuff with him because he trims, he edits, he just has so much. It's just like a like his world. And in his mind, and the way these things, doesn't he talk about it like growing this ever, like just growing sort of like he's got to trim some stuff up and it just seems to keep going outward and not really coming back to a point where he's going to wrap it all up. He loves to just expand and leave these back doors and just ways in which he can kind of, you know, move forward with characters or I don't know. It's just, there's so much.
You know, I found another site that's doing the same thing. Why the others even came back in the first place. To this extent was never explained. Remember in season 8, I think it's episode 2. It's either episode 2 or episode 1 where you see the sigil that the White Walkers burned, right? Yep. Like into that wall, like, hey, we're coming for you. I think at the Umber House, right? And it's like, again, that sigil was never, you know, that sigil, again, as we said a little bit ago, was totally never explained. So like what their point is or whatever. So, and then perhaps the Horn of Winter, remember Sam, when they find the dragon glass, there's that horn there.
Yeah, so Ezra said, is he going to get the Horn of Winter?
Well, yeah. what's to say that Sam didn't give it to him. And then John's like, got this horn with him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, that could be a whole thing. He sounds that horn. Who freaking knows? They say it can wake giants. You know what I'm saying? No one sounded it. He's like, hey, you can have this back or whatever. And then boom, we're on some magical adventure where it's like waking up winter. Matt, you've talked about going to the heart of don't they call it the heart winter. Of winter?
Yeah.
Right. Like too many things were way unanswered. And yeah. I think George knows that. And, yeah.
Because in the scene where the Children of the Forest create the Night King, it's like green. It's all green, all grass.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then I think when we see them again, when Bran, it's either the kid, the baby they take or whatever, they're in that same spot.
And it's all winter.
Because you see them walking through. Okay. I think it's maybe when Bran does the vision and he touches him.
Okay.
Which still could still end up being the whole thing. Is like Bran goes bat. You know, crazy.
Oh, I'm telling
you. He was touched by the Night King, and the Night King was going like straight after. Well, him. So guys,
okay, let's just real quickly one more time here. I want to say this out loud that George, when they sit down, Dan and Dave, they're like, "All right, man, we've got this kind of figured out here." He gave them like phase 1, right? You got all this books, all this material and stuff. Eventually, I read all the freaking articles when season 8 came out. At some point, they came. They said, "George, we need to finish this." And he said, well, I'm not done. I have 2 books to write, right? So he gives them this outline as to where he wants to go. Bran's going to be, let's say he just hypothetically said, Bran is a bad guy. Bran is going to turn. He's going to be the Night King. He's going to be, George, we can't do that. Like that's not something we can do. You know, well, we'll make him king. But I mean, we haven't set up that device. There is nothing in the show I know, guys. Like you didn't really, I mean, it's not finished. I mean, I just feel like there's so much of that. This is why I'm fascinated. I cannot wait to see when the books come out. We'll never know how much he was influenced by it or whether he changes stuff or whatever. But I just kind of feel like if Jimmy, you've said like maybe they stopped collaborating with him to some degree and like trying to push his vision forward. Maybe it kind of, he felt left behind. He gets depressed. Well, he knows where his story is going. I mean, did he share with them on that, like back in the late 2000, like, or whenever he met with them in 2010 or not, whenever it was, did he tell them the end then? Like, did he tell them the end of the series? And so they were writing towards the end. I've just never felt like they were writing towards the end of the series until season 4 or 5, they come like, all right, dude, we are about to pass you by. How does this bad boy wrap up?
And I think,
okay, that's a problem. That sucks.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they really thought he was going to release the final two books. I do.
Yeah,
I do too. I definitely think they all thought he was going to release it.
And so that just makes me think, though, that there's probably a ton of stuff that like he is setting up. And when we look at, because, OK, why are people so upset about the ending of season 8 and stuff? Like, because they're like, it's not lining up with where we think things are really going to go kind of in the books. Like, not exactly. I mean, it's maybe some of those bigger, you know, points or whatever.
Right.
But like, it's just not adding up for people. They don't see Dany doing the things that she's doing. Although Matt and I have looked at the bells pretty regularly, and the bells are ringing, and I think she's going crazy. But like Jimmy said, the whole, you know, the whole Cersei kind of going to Casterly Rock, and just different things that the way he's going to move pieces around is so different. And I even think the actual outcomes of characters, they may be. Like, it's a stretch. I feel like it's going to be a stretch as to where they're actually at. And they could not get them to where George wanted them to go because they hadn't set up Lady Stoneheart. They hadn't set up all these other things that were happening. And so they used Beric Dondarrion. I mean,
didn't have Arya Hota.
No, they didn't have. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's bonkers how many things they don't have.
Can we just run through all the characters? Victorian Greyjoy. Not even in the show.
Massive in the book.
No,
like you could do the crack, all the stuff that we think Euron's endgame is going to be. You could totally do
Hightower. By the way, Old Town and Hightower have been built up to be this thing, right? Lord Leighton Hightower and everything that's going on there. You can see the wall from there. Mystical powers, books. Marwyn the Mage is off doing his thing. The Sphinx is there. I mean, literally, there is like a never ending. There are like whole sections that are just like gutted. And it will make a lot more sense, and there'll be more kind of there's even time. There's still two books to see significant turn in characters. Dany, by the way, has just been taken off. We may start to see the cracks of madness in Base Dothrak. We may start to see her really go mad at this point and say, "That's it. I'm done with this whole politically." We don't know.
Yes or no, do you think, now that we've opened Pandora's box of going past like the books, which is just like insane.
Crazy.
Like it is insane. I mean, do you think within the next 10 years we'll see Emilia Clarke, you know, Daenerys Targaryen resurrected and come back?
Like, I'm sorry, I'm gonna jump in. Absolutely. If I were writing this thing, I would literally, you go do all your spooky stuff up there, right? All the different things, exactly what Matt said, right? You carry us along. Jimmy said it, like we're doing our thing with the wildlings. We're building stuff back up or whatever. But what would shock the world? What is, they know what it would be. They know that they have the device in a Game of Thrones to say, what would bring people back to this table? We already brought John, but we got.
Well, I mean,
Lady Stoneheart. They just bring her in.
Like the craziest thing about this though is we keep like, I don't know, it's just the way we do it is we're like they'll do this, they'll do this. Like, that's HBO. Like, Kit Harington is the one who wrote this, or is like came up with this like idea, right? So it's like
just pitching it, yeah.
What do you think he wanted? What story did he want to finish? Or at least open to more ideas of Jon Snow.
I think it has to be. So my gut tells me this is going to be a character driven show. Like, it's going to be about Jon Snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe what he leaves behind once he's dead.
Right.
That's what I expect.
And so as I looked at this, and I think maybe we talked about it on your live stream too, Jimmy, like, you look at when this was written, or like when this idea would have had to have come in his mind, was like, because he was in rehab in like 2019, like after Game of Thrones, like he was in rehab, and then it was the pandemic. because we did the math and we said, George said there's X shows and whatever. And then George said, yeah, it's been pitched for about a year and all these other ones. So like, that means he was probably writing and coming up with his idea when he's like going through like one of the worst times of his life.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was thinking, and he was thinking about Jon Snow. And so it's like, you look at the things that Jon Snow, it would be going through. So he went north, right? Which he was, remember, he was banished north.
Yeah.
Yep. Jon was banished to the north.
Yep.
Arya, everybody sails off, right? Mm-hmm. Arya goes off. He can't see Sansa anymore. He has to go north. He generally loved Daenerys, but had to kill her and did it for the realm.
Yeah.
He also he also was the heir to the Iron Throne, but he didn't want it.
Yeah.
And so like he's gonna, and so like we're, you know, he thought for his whole life Ned Stark was his dad. He thought he was a Stark, but now he's like a Targaryen. So what's to say he doesn't try to learn more about Rhaegar and like
dragons,
figure stuff out? And what's to say he doesn't get correspondence from ravens, from Bran and all these other people, like telling him about it and everything? And Maester Aemon, who he loved, was one, like, it was actually, he was related to, like,
you're one of the last.
I think it's going to be a lot of this reflection.
Yeah.
That's why I think I almost feel like a character driven miniseries where like John has to like kind of settle with everything that's happened. But there obviously needs to be some sort of conflict, right? I don't know what that would be.
And then him overcoming that is I think is realizing who he is, which is the freaking king of the realm, man, not the king of the north. He's the king of the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll just be him chopping logs and they're like,
does he
hey,
have, does he have dragon dreams? Does he have wolf dreams? Whatever.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of a mixed bag. Refresh my memory real quick on something. So Jon Snow is banished because you have the Unsullied who are there, right? They're upset. Right. And Bran's just trying to negotiate kind of,
right. It's part of the Unsullied not going around and starting another war.
Right, and they'll leave if he's exiled or whatever kind of thing, right?
But then they leave, so it's like then he could come back.
Yeah, that was weak. That was very.
That was definitely.
Yeah, there's so many things that I'm just sort of like, wait, didn't he do a service to the realm? Why are we letting the Unsullied tell us what to do, Bran? Like, I mean,
it would be one thing if Kit was like this mega fan like Henry Cavill is for The Witcher, right? Where I don't think Kit's that guy. Like, I don't think Kit's reading Duncan Egg tomorrow and being like, we need to tie this in. You know, I just don't see that happening. So I think it's more about the character. But who knows? Maybe it is Jon Snow up north and then he gets a raven from Sansa saying Dorne has rebelled. Or you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, here's something interesting. I truly believe this, actually. And I would love to be proved right on this. And I'm throwing it out here. When I was reading around in season 8, all the different conversations that were happening, the times where they met, where the team met, and hearing that, you know, if Kit was close to Dana Dave and they talked and they shared information, they might have shared a plot point that George gave them that, like, they're like, ah, but we just can't do that, Kit. Sorry. Like, it's just something we can't do because it's just not matching up. So after they do the table reading and they all kind of have their moment, they talk through more stuff. And if he was friends with them, which is, I think somebody mentioned here, there was a closeness. Well, then why wouldn't they have shared some of that stuff? Or why wouldn't he have talked to George and learned more about that? If something was told to him that he thought was really cool, he might have come back to the table and said, George, what if we do that? Like, what if we go ahead and do that thing that we didn't do? That would have been really cool. I just feel like you said, Jimmy, he's not a guy who's like, you know, diving into theories and really like coming and saying, all right, I really know like where this was going and all the breadcrumbs that George was like. No, someone told him something, or like you said, character driven. What's he dealing with too? Combination. Yeah.
What if John goes up north and then he figures out that the doom is about to strike Westeros?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
That's a pet thing for me, because I think the Doom in Valyria is like the coolest thing in all the lore.
Yeah.
But the Doom, that's a big question mark. And it's like, what if he goes up there and he has some dreams and Valyria and.
Holy smokes, dude. That's the thing. Already in lore, there is a device wherein which a whole group is just wiped out. right?
Yeah.
Like major stuff happens and they have to, like, their whole empire is destroyed or whatever. I think one of our commenters, it might have even been Sam earlier, who talked about like the Dawn Empire and all these different things. Mm-hmm. The elements that you could bring back from, we're so focused on Westeros, but like we have no, and in Ashai, we have no idea what army or mystical thing is going on there. That could be a great darkness that's coming. A doom could be, like, some spell casting could be going on. I mean, from what we hear about in legends and lore, right, is that the hammers, they're at the neck, like the flooding of the neck, and then the basically the arm of Dorne being where the first men come over, and then like the children doing their magical spells and laying low that. I mean, it's just
Could also be introducing something that we don't even know exists yet. That's like about to change everything forever.
I mean, Valyrian came back from Valyria with a chunk out of him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly.
What in the world happened in Valyria?
Yeah, what happened? What happened? It Euron lies in the book, right? He didn't. He was actually in Qarth, probably got Dragonbinder from somewhere in Qarth. He really didn't go through all of that because no one would. No one makes it. No one lives.
I believe George did confirm that Euron went to Valyria, though.
Did he really?
I believe he did say that. I might be wrong. Someone in the comments can tell me if I'm wrong. But I thought in an interview, someone said, did Euron really go to Valyria? And he was like, yes.
Wow. That's actually awesome then. Because people, that was unclear, right? People were kind of like, oh, was he fishing around?
I could be wrong, though. I might be misremembering.
No.
Because I've read so much shit at this point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, either way, that would be really cool to kind of explore the Valyria stuff and then
bring it up.
You know, yeah, just talk about some of that. I mean, Mokoro. Yeah.
Do you think Jon Snow's going to have a kid? What if he's already married and has a kid?
I think this show? Absolutely. I think he has to have a family. But like, also, like, how? I think your point about them bringing in Val as a character for this show only makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And then being, you know, then it's like the Wildling Prince and you have all these things. I doubt that we're going to get a super lore heavy show out of Kit Harington. Mm-hmm. I think it's more going to be about the duty and heart and person, the person that Jon Snow is.
Yeah.
I think he wants more closure for that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, I feel like Jon's story kind of ended on like a pretty, like, to me, his story ended on like one of the best, like, sort of notes, but. Clearly, Kit Harington has an idea for it, which is like the most it's the most intriguing thing because it's like, man, what story did he still want to tell? Because remember, if you go look at his interviews leading into season 8, he's like, man, it's depressing. Little did we know he actually had an alcohol problem and had actual depression, but I mean.
Well, I felt like he thought, like, so he stabs Danny. Arya stabs the Night King, right?
Which was supposed to be Jon's moment.
Right. So what did, I mean.
Yeah, the fact that they had that stare down and didn't fight is like, oh. It was like,
I mean, Dan and Dave essentially said in the after episode, they said, you know, it was supposed to, like, basically it was supposed to be Jon, but we gave it to Arya. It's like, all right, I guess. Know.
Why?
Probably because they looked and said, oh man, she did all that assassin shit just to kill Walder Frey, which she could have done anyways.
Right.
I mean, guys,
it was mishandled.
I don't know. I was still sort of okay, only because Arya did have that sort of prophecy around her and like the blue eyes and Melisandre said, like, oh, we meet again. Like, it's still like, I mean, again, it should have been like sort of Jon, but I was like, I wasn't totally against the idea of it being.
Season 8 hater. There's a lot bigger haters.
I love the first. I still like the first three episodes, man. I thought they were sick. Episode 4 was like, ugh. It should have been flipped, and it should have been the Night King stuff should have been the end of the thing.
Yeah, I think that. I have some hot takes about season 8. I think the last episode's first half is phenomenal.
With the dragon wings and everything.
Phenomenal.
I thought that episode was fine. Like, for me, it was like a 7.5 out of 10 episode. I've seen a lot of other shows.
Standing there in the wing, like,
The wings, and then when John stabs her.
I mean, the episode, like, as a whole. I mean, it's really, really, really hard to finish any sort of story that's been so built up for so long. A lot, like, the big problem is like episodes 4 and 5, and it's like. This feels like episode 4 is honestly the worst episode of Game of Thrones. It's like Euron just sort of comes out of like you know, yeah, he RKOs a dragon out of nowhere. And then and it's just like, dude, it's like, what the heck? And then five was just like Danny going mad. Like, I have always said, a lot of people were saying there's no evidence for Danny to go mad. I disagree with that. I didn't like it, but I do believe there's tons of evidence to say that the possibility exists for her to go mad. Yeah. I didn't like that she did. But whatever, you went that route. And then I thought the ending actually was just sort of, you know, it was okay. A lot of other shows have like cliffhanger endings because like we might come back or whatever, or, you know, and they just, but they said it's a definitive ending. So we thought, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I'm being honest, I remember watching it. So I got married 2 days before. So I was in Vegas and it was the last day. And I said, hey, everyone, I'm going to be unavailable for about an hour and a half. And I went up to the room and I watched the last episode in my hotel room. And I didn't look at the internet because I was on vacation. Like, I was like, as soon as it's done, I'm going down the casino floor. Mm-hmm. And if I'm being 100% honest with you guys, I remember like looking at my wife, who wasn't into the show at all. She didn't watch or anything.
Yeah.
And I said, that was pretty good. And I went downstairs and my two best friends were there. And I said, what'd you guys think? They said, I liked it. It wasn't until I got home that I found out everyone hated it. Like, I had no idea. And so then that makes me feel weird because I do think there's super valid criticisms of the last season and the last episode, whatever, right?
Right.
I do remember laughing a bit during the King's Council, which I don't think I should have been laughing during that moment, right? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So again, I'm not saying it's perfect or anything, but I just remember being like, oh, okay. Like, it's over. Like, I was just, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's weird because you wonder what it would be like without what we do,
right?
And what all the commentary and all these things. And the people that I know that aren't involved in the internet seem to be okay with it. And I will say binging it now, the people who are binging now do not have that 10 years almost of buildup, right? Totally different experience. So it's just
my mom watched all of Game of Thrones, had no like anything about it in like a week, which is still like insane.
It's wild.
That's just that's what she did. And she said she thought it ended well. She like was texting me throughout, you know, and it's like whatever. She's like binging it. So it's like she watched it in a week. She's like, I hate that they killed the Mandalorian. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. just not taking the time, you know, to like really like, cause she's just watching it straight through. Like,
yeah,
right, so the span of a few days. So you don't like, it's not like we have time to sit and learn all the characters and theorize and everything. She said the Night King should have been the end. Like, you know, it was like, agreed. I think that's what everybody ultimately. Mm. I think honestly, if you had flipped it around and you had just done King's Landing, even if let's say John stabbed Danny because she burned down King's Landing, she's like, it'll be mine. And he's like, well, we have to defeat the White Walkers. And she's like, it doesn't matter. I'll take them down too. You know, we'll rebuild after that. And he's like,
or she could kill her. She just died during the battle.
Right. And then, and then she just died. And then she dies during the battle. And then John kills the Night King. And then I think like, you just flip it around. I think everyone would have been way more fine with it.
Is it Matt just fixed season 8?
Just like, well, like, and there was a lot of problems in 7. 7 for my money, 7 was worse than 8.
Right.
Just saying.
But I will say this, that no matter how you ended it, like, because we have to put ourselves in the pre-season 8 like mindset, which is where everyone's at. Everyone that watched it when it was coming out was in that pre-season 8 mindset where we all genuinely believed. And the thing that made the show, like the end of the show, as successful as it was once we got past the books, nobody had any clue what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And we literally were all theorizing because we had seen the Red Wedding. We had seen the Purple Wedding. We had seen Ned Stark get us, you know, killed. And we're like, oh my God, that we all genuinely believed anybody could win. I mean, that was the thing. It was like a game. It like it is the Game of Thrones, but it's like sports teams, right? It's like March Madness. It's like anybody can win, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like people were saying the Lannisters could legitimately win because like that's what we had been up. So it's like it's hard to go back and view the show like now, you know, like because you weren't there in like that moment of the anticipation, not knowing.
Was insane.
Yeah. The anticipation was so insane.
And in a way, the book's not being finished actually aided the show to be as big. That's why I actually said,
I believe so as well.
I said this to you guys. I said the Wheel of Time, I never thought it could be as big as Game of Thrones ever because the books are finished.
Yeah. Right.
I can just go find out what happens.
But I'll say that I disagree. Because plowing through The Boys has totally changed my perception of how any sort of adaptation can go.
Well, certainly.
Because they're going in a different direction, quite a bit. Yes. Different direction, to be honest. And it's so actually much better than the comics. And like the plot of the comics actually isn't bad, but a lot of the animation is like not great. And it's just like, it's whatever. But everything that they've changed from it is like so much better that I actually think, again, like Wheel of Time, for example, man, actually now it's like, it's actually caused me to sort of even reevaluate that show. It's like, I'm fine with them changing stuff if it's better.
Well, yeah, but adaptations, yeah. People get this confused a lot of times. And my friend AP, he is a PhD in fantasy narratives, which is fascinating. But he also has a very big passion for adaptations. And he does it all the time on his channel. His channel is called the Critical Dragon, or A Critical Dragon. Mm-hmm. And he actually talks about this all the time. And he says a good adaptation does not mean they went line for line from the book. That is not how that works. And he talks about like different types of shows that really move away from the source material and end up keeping the spirit alive in a new generation of viewers, right? So I do believe that you can change things in adaptation and all types of things. And maybe Wheel of Time will do that, right? And they'll be like, we don't know where it's going anymore, which after season one, hey, who knows? But I always felt like the mystery of the books not being finished and them being so beloved also did aid Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it does the same way that the Snow sequel aids like this whole thing, because what's next? Like, there's an unknown. There's not even an outline. There's nothing we can even actually even go look at. But yeah, so you're right in that there's both. I was gonna make kind of a funny here, which is that, like, I mean, ultimately, like, you know, the best adaptation out there is Lord of the Rings, right? They almost go line chapter by chapter, right? I mean, except for the Old Forest.
And there's still people who complain about it.
I know, they're just
insane. Kidding.
You can begin to wash like a bad taste out of people's mouth with something by expanding the content that surrounds it. Yes. And once you get a little further away from it, you tend to remember things with more sort of rose-colored glasses. Yeah. And I would say the biggest example is, I mean, well, so many things. I mean, like, okay, the Spider-Man movies. Like, when the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies came out, everyone like hated them. Everyone's like, these suck. Then it's like, hey, and like Spider-Man 3, everyone's like, yeah, this movie's like kind of sucks, isn't that great? Then it's like, you know, 15 years later, hey, we're bringing back all three Spider-Man, awesome. Like, everyone loves it. I mean, like the whole big deal with Kenobi right now is Hayden Christensen's coming back. You know, there's a reason Hayden Christensen didn't act in movies for like 15 years is because when the prequels came out, everyone said he was an awful actor and like shouldn't be in anything. And then, you know, the Star Wars, which was developed for kids, those kids now are like, oh, the prequels are the best. And the prequels, like Revenge of the Sith, has suddenly become like the second best Star Wars movie. And they expanded it with the Clone Wars animated series and sort of built up like a lot of those characters and stuff. So if this thing comes out and it's good, just like House of the Dragon is going to do, like, because I think House of the Dragon is going to be freaking amazing.
Yeah,
the cast is like, it's just too good not to be solid at the worst.
Yeah, at the very least, I'm getting to watch Westeros weekly.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. It'll begin to remind us of why we loved the series, you know, in the first place. Like, there's so many movie franchises and stuff to have like 10 movies, and like, yeah, like there's like four, you know, there's like, you know, like five of those movies may suck, but it's like when, you know, it's like, okay, you have like 1, 2, 3, amazing. Or then you get to like 4 and 5, 6. Okay, we're really going down. Then like 7 comes out and it's like back to being awesome. It's like the Jurassic Park franchise. It's like Jurassic Park 1, like one of the best movies ever. 2 and 3 kind of suck. Then you come back years later, Jurassic World. Hey, we're back in and it spurns 2 more movies. So it's just how it goes. If the Snow series comes out and it's awesome, it'll build upon House of the Dragon, and then we'll be like, Game of Thrones was, you know, season 8 wasn't that bad.
Well,
it'll begin to be the sentiment, Mark. Just watch.
Oh, I've already seen it. I send it to you guys all the time. I see it on the Game of Thrones subreddit, you know, which was a hate Reddit for like 2 years. And now you're seeing people saying, hey, guys, I'm kind of confused like this. And then like you'll see people kind of be like, yeah, you know, I've dialed back my opinion since rewatching or whatnot. And again, I am not defending the show with, you know, my shield. I get it. There's legitimate criticisms for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those things. Also, like people tend to take media very serious. And as time goes by, like most things, you start to realize it wasn't that serious. And you start thinking about the good times. And there are going to be people that write it off completely. And that's fine. But for me, I'm here.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's Westeros. Like you said, it's like we get more of it and we had fun with it. There were good times. There were times where right after we're like, man, that sucked or whatever. We didn't like that. But then, yeah, you could look back and like, we had a great run. Just tons of good talk and good theorizing and. You know,
the world rules, dude. Like the world of that George has built is so well realized and was then excellently portrayed on screen that just being in Dragonstone and House of the Dragon, I'm there.
Yep. That's a good call. Yeah. Ah, oh, dude, this is great. I love thinking about it. I just love thinking about old Jon Snow up there because, you know,
talking about a sequel.
It's crazy.
Somehow the Night King has returned.
Oh God.
I mean,
they might. Okay. I would be in too. I would be like, cool.
All right. The ice side is a pathway to many abilities that some would deem unnatural.
God. Yeah. I'll let JJ come in. Maybe that's the guy who's running who's helping
get with this. Jesus.
You know? Oh man. All right, guys. Well, Jimmy, thanks, man, so much. This has been great, man. I appreciate you coming on. We just want to get you know, Matt and I talked about it for a few weeks. We're on your channel, and then I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on it and see how you're feeling. So appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, man, my pleasure. I always love coming on and chatting and stuff with y'all.
Yeah, tell everybody where they can find you, just again, real quick before we head out.
Yeah, go check me out here on YouTube on the Fantasy Network. I do book reviews, sci-fi, fantasy, really out now about anything. But I do primarily stick to fantasy where I try to find like the next A Song of Ice and Fire, which so far haven't found it. But I have found some really amazing series that I love just almost as much. Almost.
Yeah.
So come check me out over there and get your next best read.
Yeah, nice. I like that. And you do live streams. What? What's your schedule looking like?
It's every other Friday. I do Chatting with Nuts, and I bring on other content creators. Sometimes I bring on authors. I actually interviewed Steven Erickson, the author of the Malazan series, which is another massive fantasy series, and some other people as well. So we're always just having a good time with those live streams. Really good conversation, and we kind of get to figure out what makes us tick as readers.
Yeah, I love that because Matt always, we always see in our chat, like, oh, Jimmy, there we go. Jimmy's going live. So not only will you find him over there, chat with some pretty awesome people. You'll see Matt and I in the comments there because it's fun. It's just you create like a really good atmosphere, just a fun hangout, and I really enjoy it. It's good.
I learned from the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, hey, Matt. So for us, I think it's like, you know, we've got, I'm coming out to see you.
Oh, man. Yes.
By the way.
As I might do something live from like my office. We'll cram in here.
Wild. Well, it'd be the first time we've recorded like together, and I don't even remember like
two years.
Or so. Yeah, it's wild. I can't wait. So then we got tons more stuff coming down the line, guys. Just we're gonna keep up with the reread. We got Winds of Winter theories. We got House of the Dragon. I mean, we might be getting Winds of Winter next year. We might be getting the Snow series. Who knows at this point? Who knows?
Man, what if he just George just drops it this year? Like, and last episode of House of the Dragon. I mean.
I would lose my mind. I would lose my mind. Matt and I would literally have to go into overdrive and just we'd be doing three episodes a week, guys. I mean, it'd be crazy.
Well, you never know. As and I might be very close to be doing this. You know, part time jobs and full time content creation as opposed to part time content creation and full time jobs.
So. Hell yeah,
that's all we want.
We're working on it.
Yeah. So, all right, friends, hey, thanks so much, you know, for stopping in, for listening to us here. Subscribe, like, do all that good stuff over on the YouTube. And if you want to, we're actually looking towards, as we get into the reread and different things, send us those ravens at btkcast@gmail.com. As we get closer to the show and stuff, I feel like you know, just thoughts on the show or a trailer coming out soon. Do you think we're going to be getting a trailer soon anyways? I think
Comic-Con. They pretty much they announced earlier that
when is it?
Well, George Comic-Con end of July. So George had announced, okay. Oh, like in a thing. Oh, and I guess I'm going to Comic-Con.
Oh,
like,
my.
Before like HBO officially said we will be at Comic-Con. Which, by the way, Marvel said they're not even going to this year, which is weird. So it's like Warner Brothers has it all to themselves. So House of Dragons is going to be like the thing. Yeah.
We'll definitely take it then. Yeah. All right, cool. We got that to look forward to. So yeah, that'll be good. All right, friends. Well, hey, thanks so much. We'll give you guys updates on all of our stuff, Patreon, all that good stuff. Go check out all that business. Again, Matt and I are doing Hyperspace Hangout. We're doing Heroes of the Horn, Elder Wand, all of our good shows. So go check those out as well. I got links down in the description. Thanks so much, friends. We appreciate you. And as always, remember that winter is coming.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.